Were you trying to watch that TikTok I sent you?
Yes. And
it's a really good one. It's a good TikTok. Did you see it?
I didn't really hear it.
So though. she's lying on the bed and they're both wearing onesies. So
camouflage. Yours is for the forest, mine is for rich people.
I love it.
We're both wearing camouflage because she's got like, hers has like gold chains. And this guy's wearing camo and she's like, yours is for the forest, mine is for rich people.
Have you also seen the video where it's like girls dressing up to go jogging?
No.
And then it's like this voice reading over like, so my plan is to go move to a rich neighborhood. No, jog in a rich neighborhood. I jog every day. The rich ladies know me now. I get invited to stuff. I know them now. So I meet their man. I marry the richest. Move in, live with him for 10 years. Then I go jogging in a new neighborhood. The rich ladies know me now.
This is good. I've recently started TikToking and I hate myself for it.
Yeah. I hate myself also for TikToking.
But we talked about this last week.
Yes.
Because, you know, we're, our personality is wine. But you're going to go do something exciting after this today.
Sell my car.
You're going to sell Octavia.
I know.
Eliza.
I feel so mixed emotions about it.
Yeah.
So my old car.
Before
Octavia, I had Polo. Volkswagen Polo.
Yep. Is that what we have? No, we have a Golf.
You have a Golf.
Okay, yeah.
Polo is like
I don't even know what car we have.
Type below.
It's below the Golf.
It's not a good car.
No.
It was also like 2012 model with no extra stuff.
Okay.
So it was a shitty car.
It just went from A to B.
Yes. It was a great car for a 22-year-old that didn't need anything else.
Yep.
Yeah. Then me and Aaron were like, we need a bigger car. Okay. So we went for
Octavia.
Octavia. Skoda Octavia.
Skoda Octavia. And for anyone listening, the reason why I always say Eliza.
Eliza!
Is because in that movie, The Shape of Water, which you've never seen, Octavia Spencer is in that movie. And one thing that I noticed when I first saw that movie is like, she's an Academy Award winning actress, but all she does in that movie is say, Eliza!
So my car is now called Eliza.
Eliza.
What was the thing? Yes. So when I sold the Polo, the only thing I was thinking about when we were selling it was just like, just sell it and get away so they will not realize how shitty it is until we are out
Take
of sight.
Take the money and run.
Yes. Yeah.
Sign the paperwork, run away.
Yes.
Yep.
Now I'm like, this is a great car.
How long have you had Octavia?
2 years. Maybe 3.
Yeah. But you're up training because you want to get like a
4x4.
4x4
with a towing bar.
Because you're elder millennials.
Yes.
And you like to go out into the country on the weekends because your personality is wine.
Yes. And I'm a Ravenclaw. And I love to travel.
Yeah.
But yeah, now I'm just like, I'm so emotionally invested in this car.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is a great car. You will have a great time here.
Plus you spent a shit ton of money on that car in the last year.
Yes.
There was nothing wrong with it. You just had a seatbelt that they wouldn't.
It's just, yeah. It's a great car. And it's weird not to be like, just take my money and give me your money and I will run away.
Does part of you want to meet them and check that, like, say if you're rehousing your cat or your dog, you want to make sure it's going to a nice home? Is that what you've...
I met them and it's just...
Oh, so you've already met them?
Yes.
Okay.
And it's a young couple with a baby on the way. And
it's the perfect car for them.
It's a great car for you.
It's a station wagon. It's got lots of
I mean, room you in could the boot. Move into the boot.
There, I mean, there is a man in this street who does live in a station wagon.
Yeah, it's huge.
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah. So you've already met them?
Yes, they tested out the car yesterday.
And they said they want to buy it?
Yes.
Okay, so what are you worried about that you haven't sold it yet?
Well, we haven't signed the papers.
Yeah,
so.
But I mean, they said meet us at, you know, whatever time.
Yeah.
So do you think they're going to meet you at whatever time to say, by the way, we hate your car?
No, maybe
they will.
We brought
you all the way out here to say go fuck yourself.
Maybe they will be like, oh, we didn't get the loan or we didn't.
But then they would call you.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I mean, they still have until 7.
Until 7?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you said it was 6:40.
I need to be home by then.
So that you can. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's exciting. So then you will be carless if it all goes through.
Yes.
And then when are you getting a new one?
Just, I don't know, next week.
You were saying on Facebook today to me that you're like, oh, we might just go get one tomorrow. It baffles me how fast things move these days.
Yeah.
Like I saw Aaron posted about Octavia being for sale 4 days ago.
Yeah.
On Facebook.
This is also a great time to sell cars.
Is it?
Yes.
Why?
Because especially like cars like Skoda Octavia.
Yeah.
Because people are like, well, we're going to travel this summer and I have a Polo.
Oh, they're going to travel this summer in Iceland.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
And just like they came maybe from a trip and were like, yeah, this is a too small of a car now. Yeah. Yeah. Summer, fall is always pretty good.
Because people are driving around.
Yeah, and then small cars because people need cars for school.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's usually, yeah.
That's good news because we have to sell our car.
Yes.
Yeah. But I think ours might be harder to sell because it's like it's newer and it's got the whole parking itself feature. And
I don't think so.
Yeah?
It's probably just going to be easier to sell it then.
You think?
Yeah.
It's got no scratches or anything on it.
No.
Yeah, we barely use it.
You barely
use it. But what else is going on?
Just our camping trip.
I know.
That we talk about every week.
I hope you get a new car soon because we won't have one.
No, we will go on the camping trip. Then we will just borrow some car.
Okay, if you don't have one by then. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
But we will have a car by then. We need a car.
Yeah.
I work on Grande.
Yeah, it's true. And Grande should just stop trying to happen. Hey, have you been seeing all my posts about how much I hate plugging my show?
Yes, I have.
Are they funny?
Yes.
Yes?
Most of them. Sometimes I'm like, don't know, calm down. You want people to come to your show.
Well, I think I know which ones you're talking about, but like, I think they're ones where you should just hear it with the tone of my voice.
Yes.
You should try and read it with me going, yeah. Yeah. But I'm so
You are tired.
Yeah, but I know I just get to the point where I'm at now before, because the show starts on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Friday. Friday, you got to get down on Friday.
You got to get down on Friday.
And I get to a point around now where I'm like, I'm done. I don't want to plug it anymore. And you can't stop. You have to, at least one time a day, you have to remind people of the show. Because if I were just to stop now, then there is a chance that by Wednesday people go, wait, did you have a show on? I forgot. Because, you know, everyone, especially in Iceland, people do, I mean, I've done it before as well. People do go, okay, it's on Wednesday. I'll buy tickets on Wednesday.
Yes.
And it's not because they're like, I'm going to wait and see if anything better comes. They're just like, oh, it's on Wednesday. I can do it then. I'll do it later.
Mm-hmm.
But so you can't stop posting about it. But there is a point where you're at where you're like, I just don't want to. I'm sick of myself. I just want to. Yeah, and then where I'm at right now, because also I think you'd be proud of me. I've been way more prepared with this show. Like I had it written and finished like 3 weeks ago.
Okay.
I've had it recorded.
Oh.
So that, you know, and then while I'm doing the day job, I just listen to it so that I'm familiar enough with it that I don't have to keep looking at a piece of paper to remind me of stuff.
Yeah.
And then that also gets me to a point where I feel like I can play with it more when I'm on stage.
Yeah.
So I'm way more prepared.
Okay.
But because of plugging it and because I've heard the show so many times, I just can't wait till it's over. I'm just like, I'm at a point where, don't get me wrong, once I'm on the stage, I'll be fine.
But do you not feel a little bit like that for every show? Or is it especially now?
For this one?
Yeah.
I don't know, because I kind of forget sometimes.
Mm.
Like, I know Nathan would probably say, you're like this before every single show.
Yeah.
But I think I'm way more prepared. And also I think the show itself is different.
Okay.
To stuff in the past and like,
what's going on here?
I've been decluttering. She just picked up a piece of packing tape. Yeah. Can you see those boxes and stuff? I've been decluttering, getting rid of things.
I don't see the decluttering.
You see cluttering.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, because this is the room where I do it. Like, you can clearly see behind me there are boxes.
Yes.
With stuff in them.
Yes.
And I brought a plant in here because the sun was better. And that bag of stuff, there is stuff to go in the trash. So it's,
yeah.
I mean, it was much worse 2 days ago. but yes, that's I've been decluttering. And that's what I do when I listen to my show.
Yeah.
I go through things and I do the Marie Kondo. Remember Marie? Mm, remember that?
Yeah, I never watched it.
I watched like 2 episodes and then...
I don't believe in hype.
What? Oh, you mean when like everyone's watching something?
Yeah, it's the hype
of... You watched Tiger King?
No, I didn't.
You didn't watch Tiger King?
No. I watched 1 episode and I was like, nah. And then I just asked Aaron to tell me what happened. I haven't watched the Eurovision movie either.
It's...
okay.
Yep.
I've seen clips.
Yeah.
Why the fuck are they called Lars and Sigrid?
Which are not Icelandic names.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I heard that one actor went to the writing team and was like, an Icelandic one.
And said, you know, these aren't Icelandic names.
And they were like, oh, huh, well... Well, we are here.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. And I'm like, this is stupid.
They didn't check.
No, and, well, I haven't seen it, but Aaron said it had a lot of, like, Swedish...
well, I mean, their accents were bad.
Yes.
And Pierce Brosnan...
Brosnan
plays his dad, and when he's doing an Icelandic accent, he sounds Italian.
Yeah.
My son will never win a Eurovision. Oh my God. I hear Mamma Mia. But I can, the way I would describe it is, if you take away all that crap, if you watch it and you're not trying to fault them on their Icelandic stuff, if you watch it and you're not trying to say you wouldn't get from Húsavík to Reykjavík via that, and buses don't look that way in Iceland, if you forget about that and you forget about the Eurovision Song Contest and how none of the rules are followed in this movie, it's an okay film.
It's an okay film
and where I would critique it is that I felt like it could have been a million times funnier than it was. It was okay.
Yeah.
And it just felt like more of like a, I mean, the best part of the movie probably was there's a bit in the middle where there's like a mega mash of songs and all these stars from Eurovision come up. That's the best part of the film.
Yeah.
But people are trashing it. It wasn't horrible.
No. No, yeah. And I also, one more thing I wanted to comment on the Icelandic thing is that they are called like Lars Eiríksson and she is Eiríksdóttir.
Yeah.
And this ongoing joke that they could possibly be siblings.
Yeah.
But his last name isn't Eiríksson.
Well, no, he changed, like they never sort of explain it, but it's like it's his persona, Eiríksson. Because he's a singer.
Yeah. But then the joke about his stats.
And they keep saying, he keeps saying, they say, oh, your sister. And he's like, she's probably not my sister.
Yeah. And yeah, it doesn't make sense if they don't have the, if he has a, like a surname.
Yeah.
And she's Eriksdóttir. Then it doesn't make, the joke no, it, doesn't yeah, make
yeah.
sense.
If it was Eriksson, yeah, then yeah.
Then it would make sense.
Yeah. But I mean, you do find out his dad is Erik.
Yeah.
And then, but then they, I don't know. It's apparently there were a lot of scenes that were cut from the movie that would have made things make more sense. Like it's dropped, there's a sentence dropped in about how she, Sigrid,
yeah,
is a teacher, a music teacher. And you're like, oh, oh, we know that now. But it was never mentioned before there. Apparently there was a scene early in the film where it established that she was a teacher.
Yeah.
There were a lot of things that were just...
Yeah. I've heard a lot of things like, oh, it's funny, it's great. Yeah.
It was okay.
Yeah. But I just, I'm like, why not? I'm just going to clarify, I'm not offended or anything.
Yeah.
I'm just like, when you're doing a joke like
why
this...
Why not check?
Why not just go all the way?
Yeah.
And if you're...
This was my problem with it. There were so many... This is what I would call a missed opportunity.
Yes.
There were way too many missed opportunities in this movie.
And like, you're doing a Eurovision movie about people in Iceland, a country that is Eurovision fans, but never
people
do
are
anything.
Crazy about like, Eurovision.
They never win.
Yeah. They always want to.
They always want to. They are never even in like the top three. Yeah. That has happened twice.
Yep.
Why not just go all the way with the Icelandic theme also? Be with Icelandic names, make the last name joke actually make sense.
Mm.
But I haven't seen the movie. So.
And I mean, when you see it, if you do eventually watch it, you'll just probably watch it and go, okay.
Yeah.
What I find more hilarious is how many non-Icelanders are offended on behalf of Icelanders about this movie.
Yeah.
Like the amount of, like the BBC did a whole thing trashing how terrible they were and saying Icelandic people aren't like that. And the funny thing is you watch it and you go, well, the whole play Ya Ya Ding Dong.
Yeah.
It's like, they are.
Yeah. And I feel like most Icelandic people that I've talked to are like,
yeah, it was funny. It made fun of us.
There's nothing wrong with making fun of us.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, why are they called Lars and Sigrid?
Yeah.
Why not Ingimar and Valgerður?
Yeah, or, you know, even
Loftaina.
Like Björk and Björk?
Yes. Loftaina is funny though.
Loftaina.
Bear chicken.
Loftaina. Is that an actual woman's name?
Yeah. But I don't think anyone is named Loftaina.
Is there a Rustaina?
No. Rustaina.
Bin chicken.
Yeah. Air chicken.
But you don't like hype?
No.
I bet there's something you've seen that...
Yes, of course I like hype. I hype over everything.
Yeah.
But a lot of times when it's something on Netflix or something that people are like, oh my God, you have to watch this, Tiger King, blah, blah, blah. And then I'm like, okay. I watch one episode and I'm like, okay then.
You know, the funny thing I realized with Tiger King, you know, when like Lord of the Rings came out and stuff and there were these nerds going, the book was better. When Tiger King came out, I got to be the nerd who went, the podcast was better.
Yeah.
I listened to this podcast years ago.
And it's much better.
It's much better. The podcast covered so much more.
I watched the other day, though, Athlete A.
Okay, what sport is it about? Because I saw somebody
post
gymnastics.
It's
okay.
Great.
And is it about sexual abuse in gymnastics?
Yes, it's about the doctor in the Olympic team.
Yeah, okay, in the US Olympic team. Oh, that's...
And there's one... Yeah, it's great.
I feel like that's going to be hard to watch.
Yes. I was not like bawling my eyes out.
Yeah, it's uncomfortable though.
It's I just feel so bad for them. And like this happens, it's not a spoiler, like you can't really spoil a documentary.
Well, everyone knows. Yeah. You know.
But she is, the one lady was like, well, so US didn't do anything in the Olympics for a long time. Then they brought cultures from Ukraine or something, like Eastern Europe, that has always been famous for
gymnastics
yeah. and their what's it called, like strictness.
Yep.
And this the same thing happened in Iceland with gymnastic and handball. Like we started to be able to do something on an international stage
because you had these really disciplined coaches.
Yes, yep. Discipline. And so they brought these three coaches from Ukraine, I think Ukraine, to the States, and they were the Olympic team coaches. And these girls were saying, like, this doctor came in and he was the only grown-up that was nice.
So the doctor was not one of the coaches?
No.
And so the coaches were strict and mean?
Just terrible.
And then the doctor who was the predator?
Yes.
Was he American?
In, yes. And he was the only one that was nice. He was, like, sneaking them food, like, actually talking to them, like, listening to them.
Yeah.
And then he started molesting them. So how nice, goosey.
Yeah.
But it's just so heartbreaking that you have this group of girls that have always been told, no, your knee doesn't hurt. No, you're not hungry. No, you... are just bad. No, you're not tired. Like, they don't know their own emotions because there's always someone else that is like, no, this is not correct. You can't do this. You need to do this. You are not good enough. And then suddenly a man is molesting them and they're like, well, this is not right, but what do I know?
Oh. Oh, and that's the... Oh, no, I feel like that would be uncomfortable to watch for me.
Yeah.
I will have to see it because, you know, I subscribe to hype.
it's a really, I felt like this was really well made.
Did you see Leaving Neverland?
I watched the first
part. Is this harder to watch than that?
No, I stopped watching that.
Because it was too hard?
Yeah, or I was just like, okay, so it's really privileged to be like, I don't need to know these details.
Yeah.
But I was just like, I watched the first half. I feel terrible. I have decided with just watching this half, I believe everyone that was there.
And I don't need to know more.
I don't need to, like, sink myself into this case.
Yeah.
I just feel horrible about it. But I want justice for you. I believe you. I just took that side of it. But this is, yeah, it's not as graphic. Okay. Or it's just a completely different kind of abuse. It's not like, it does not make it better or worse but
Leaving Neverland was quite graphic. Like, yes. They did literally say, this happened and then this happened and yes. did this with this.
And we are talking about six, eight-year-old boys.
Yeah.
Kids.
Yeah.
These are 15, 14 girls. It does not make it better.
No.
But it's just different to listen to. Like, what I felt was the hardest thing to be like was these girls that were saying he was the, everyone was so mean to me. Like, it was just such an, on top of the sexual abuse, it was just so much emotional abuse from everyone. Except their parents, but their parents weren't allowed to talk to them.
Like, the what was that other one? The Trials of Gabriel Hernandez, the little boy.
Yeah. I didn't watch
I stopped when they revealed that he was dead. And then they listed all the things that they found in the autopsy. That's when I stopped watching because I was like, I can't deal with this.
Yeah.
It was a Sunday. I was hungover and I was just like, nah.
And it's, it's, I'm all for, we need to let everyone know, people need to be involved so this doesn't happen again. We need to learn from experience and need to be able to detect the signs of abuse and predators, basically. But then I also need to think about my emotional health.
It doesn't mean that you're never going to be able to watch that second part. No. Of this is something I've come to realize recently, that sometimes when you're watching something, you're like, I can't watch it now.
Yes.
I might be able to one day. Like, and this was, Nata and I were watching that, I think I told you about the HBO series Euphoria.
Yeah.
Which is like all these, it's got Zendaya in it, mm-hmm. and it she's plays like a constantly relapsing drug addict all these kids in high school. And I watched like 3 or 4 episodes with Nathan, and I was like, this is really well written, mm-hmm. but it's so dark.
Yeah.
It's basically about how fucked up school and life and all this stuff is for kids these days. And then so we watched like 4 episodes. The next day I was making dinner and I said to him, I think you should finish watching that series without me.
Yeah.
And it was just, I was just like, you know what? I appreciate it. Think it's a great show. I'm just not in the right headspace to watch it right now.
Sometimes you just be like, yeah, no.
Sometimes you're like, I don't want to watch. I want to watch Kimmy Schmidt. I want to laugh.
I will just put on my 90s goggles and watch Friends. Yeah. Just give me that.
Or like, I'll watch old episodes of Buffy. Like, yeah.
Oh,
I don't want to think about this stuff.
No.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
No. But then I can listen to more murder podcasts and be just like, well, Aaron is like, can we listen to something else?
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like sometimes when we're driving or something, I'm like, let's listen to this. And then it starts and he's just like, this is terrible.
Mm.
I just feel bad.
You know, I mean, you do know this, but the one show I am just addicted to at the moment, The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
I finished the 9th season.
Okay, so did you start at 1?
No, I just started at 9.
So you finished at, you started at 9 because it's on Hulu.
Yes.
Yeah.
All of them are Hulu. I was like, am I going to watch 10
so
series?
So we've seen 8 and 9 and started watching 10. It's not on Hulu yet.
No, I know.
But because they're having a COVID break, we decided, because Eileen, our friend Eileen, had started watching it from season 1. We had never seen season 1 through to season 7. So every night we've just been watching a couple of episodes.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. I've discovered a few things.
Okay.
From watching it. So in season 9, did Kyle have a white party?
No.
Okay. So in the earlier seasons, every year she has an annual white party where everybody wears white.
Okay.
I said this last night, not a white party without a fight. It's always a fight at the white party.
It's always a fight at every party.
So what was the, it was Pantygate season 9. No, Puppygate.
Puppygate. Oh my God. I can't stand Vanderpump.
Oh yeah.
What a bitch.
Okay. Yeah. You don't like Lisa?
No.
Okay.
And it just all came, they were always constantly showing like breaks from other seasons.
From previous, That's the thing I like about the show. You don't have to watch the previous seasons.
No.
Because if something comes up, they will do a flashback for you.
And I was watching the reunion show and they were like, this has been happening throughout all of the seasons.
Lisa Vanderpump gets somebody to do her dirty work for her. And then says, I have nothing to do with it. Yeah.
And constantly, like, people saying, like, why are you telling me to do this? Mm-hmm, and she's like, I never did that.
I never said that. I never said that, darling.
Oh, I can't stand her. And then see, when Kyle was just like, this is what is being talked about in the group.
Yeah.
She never said she was a liar.
Mm-hmm. No, she didn't. She was just saying, it's very difficult to defend you.
Yes.
Because
and she's like, you're just calling me a liar.
And then that's when Lisa Vanderpump's husband, Ken, said, goodbye, Kyle.
Yes. You're not her friend.
You're not her friend. Yeah.
Oh, they're so... Oh, I can't stand
them. But it's
them.
What I love about it is it's so mind-numbingly watchable.
Yes.
Like, you don't... There's our lives are never going to be like these women.
No.
And their lives aren't even like that. It's totally like put together for the show. Like, you know, like, but the...
I mean, they would never be friends in real life.
Well, the thing is they do actually all know each other, because one thing I've discovered since watching the first season, Kyle is the producer of the show. So from the first season, so there were already Real Housewives in other cities.
Yeah.
She's the one who went to Bravo and said, let's do one for Beverly Hills. Here's all the women. I can get them to do the show.
Yeah.
And so she's an executive producer of every season.
Yeah, and I, like, they know each other.
And, like, her and Lisa were already friends.
Yes.
Before the show. And, yeah. And...
Oh, I hate her.
You hate no, Lisa Vanderpump. Hate do you like her. Lisa Rinna?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, she's a great person.
I was actually and I saying...
like Denise.
I was saying, you like, whoa, wait till season 10. Denise always looks confused and drunk.
Yeah, well, she probably is.
But we often watch the show and, like, you try and think, like, which wife are you?
Yes.
And I think you're a bit of a Lisa Rinna.
Oh,
that's nice. You just like to have fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like her and the one with the old husband.
Erica.
Yes. Because she is just like... stop making this out like to be something that it isn't.
Yeah, but she gets there's moments where she you saw season 9?
Yeah.
The whole of season 9?
Yeah.
So there are things Erica does which really get me the wrong way, like when she gets in a bad mood.
Yeah, I
and
mean
and then tries to pretend she's not in a bad mood.
Yes, like the friends trip.
Yeah.
Yes. But
I can't stand people who do that. It just annoys the shit out of me. Like when she came and she was obviously in a bad mood and everyone's like, are you okay? I'm fine. We're good. We're good.
Yeah. Yeah. But like the night before, they were like, I feel like you should be offended.
Yeah.
And she's like, I am not offended.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I thought this was hilarious.
Yep.
This is a persona, I don't care. And they're like, well, if this would happen to me, blah, blah, blah. I was like, come on, you're so annoying.
But you have to watch season 2. Because there's a whole storyline where one wife is basically telling the other stuff about her marriage and they're all skirting around it. And the whole season, you're like, what is she telling them? And then one day Camille says to her, we don't tell people that you say he hits you. And it, like, there's lawsuits and all this kind of stuff. And then
Camille
and she and she keeps, this girl Taylor keeps going back to her husband. And then it does come out that he was hitting her. And then they separate. And then he kills himself. Yeah. It's dramatic as fuck.
Yeah. But Camille, she is a...
Camille Grammer.
She's always thinking that everyone is out to get her.
Yes, Camille, and yeah.
And like doing these weird things and then like, I never love you and you shouldn't have been invited to my wedding. And Kyle is like, well, you asked me to be
bridesmaid. And then she said, oh, that was production. Well, you didn't have to.
She's weird.
Yeah, yeah. But you've got, so on season 9, you've got Erica, Lisa Vanderpump, Lisa Rinna.
Yeah, Lisa Vanderpump is almost not
in She's not in season 10. She leaves.
Yeah, I know.
yeah. And then you've got Erica.
Yes. Kyle.
Kyle, Teddy.
Yes, Teddy. See?
Teddy's a little annoying.
She is. But I kind of like her because she
I is... warmed to her in season 9. I didn't like her in season 8.
Yeah. She is... I mean, she's a bitch and she's like... brown nosing everyone.
Yeah.
And
then you have...
And she's always like squeezing herself into conversation that
doesn't involve her. Yeah. And then you've got Denise.
Denise,
who...
Love her.
...was my favorite season 9. She was constantly like, what the fuck is wrong with you people? Yeah. Like, get over everything.
And when Camille... Her house burned down. Traumatic.
Oh my God. And then, but Camille...
And then Denise was like, yeah, but we're just happy to be...
Alive.
Alive. I mean, and that we can buy new stuff.
Yeah.
We are in a financially stable situation. And then it cuts to Camille and she's like, okay, Denise, you needed to move out of your rented house. I'm like, oh, you're such a bitch. And
meanwhile, they brought up in the reunion. It's like, you have other properties, Camille.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, but they're all being renovated. I can't move into them.
Oh, she's so... I can't stand her.
Yeah, there's nothing nice about Camille.
No. Nothing.
No.
Because all of the other girls have like something about them.
Camille doesn't really have anything. No.
I think Kyle is my favorite one.
She's the most normal, but it's funny because I've seen her in the late seasons first, and now I'm watching her in the early seasons, and she just is very uptight about everything.
Yeah.
In the early seasons, and then she kind of lets go.
Yeah.
I think as time goes by, but there are things she gets really like, I wouldn't say that.
Yeah.
In the early seasons, and you're like, oh, fucking get over yourself, Kyle.
Yeah.
Goodbye, Kyle.
Goodbye, Kyle.
But it is, it's a great show. Yeah. It numbs my mind.
And I like Dorit also.
Dorit.
Dorit.
Dorit. When you've lived all over the world, you can speak in any accent you want.
And because her accent is all over the place.
It's fucked up. She's from Connecticut.
Yes, but I understand if you live with someone that has a completely different accent. Yeah, yeah.
But I can't talk like my accent, for fuck's sake. I've got this weird Americanized.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I understand that her accent is all over the place.
I mean, I'm sure if we moved to France and I was only speaking French,
yeah,
I would get some kind of accent,
yeah,
from like years of doing that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, definitely. And I always thought it was a little bit funny how much they made fun of her accent.
Mm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But she wasn't like, oh my God, you're always making fun of me.
When also, like, Erica's from Georgia.
Yeah.
And so the accent she's using is not her native accent.
No.
She's obviously Californianized.
Yeah.
Her accent.
Yeah.
You're like, these Georgia peaches. Mm-hmm. Have you heard her music?
A little bit.
It's expensive to be me.
But in the reunion show, what's the guy that is the...
Andy Cohen.
Oh my God.
I don't like him.
He was just... taking stuff that wasn't the thing.
You know, he's the one who basically tried to replace Kathy Griffin.
No.
Okay, so remember when Kathy Griffin, the comedian, yeah, had the Trump mask?
Yeah.
And she got canceled.
Yes.
Right? Andy Cohen is the only TV executive in the history of television to give himself a show. And he used to only do the reunions, and then he created a show for himself,
yeah,
called Watch What Happens Live. And in when I saw her live here in Reykjavik, she was saying that her whole career, he was her boss, and basically he was a narcissistic coke addict once asked her in his office, do you want to do a little blow before we do the show? And she's like famous for having never done drugs in her entire life. She never drank a sip of alcohol. And, you know, worse, if you want to keep that a secret, she's the worst person to tell that to.
Yeah.
And she said he was a miserable boss, an awful man, and she didn't realize until after the cancellation happened on her that the entire time she worked for him, he just wanted her career.
Yeah.
Because she was also best friends with Anderson Cooper, you know, the white-haired CNN guy.
Yes.
Who's gay.
Yeah.
She was his best friend. Then he disowned her after the Trump thing. And guess who's his best friend now?
Yeah, of course.
Mm. But I don't like him. Andy Cohen.
I did not like how he approached all the questions.
Well, that's what he does in the reunion. That's what makes it juicy. And that's what makes the reunion go for 3 episodes.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
But I think you should go back and watch season 1 up until now.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we will have nothing to talk about on this camping trip.
I watched 1 episode
because we're basically going on a mini Real Housewives vacation.
Yes.
Yes. Well, it's quite long because they only do a couple days.
Yeah.
Mm.
It's going to be great. It's going to be great. But Aaron can't stand it.
I couldn't either. And then it took a couple episodes and I was just in. Yeah. I was talking about this with Ian.
Know, yeah.
Elin's boyfriend.
Yeah.
And he was saying, yeah, it's a terrible show. And I said, yeah, but you've watched it over a shoulder and it sucks you in, doesn't it? And he went, yeah, it does.
Yeah. No, but Aaron, he is like, you know how Aaron is when people start fighting when they are drunk.
Yep.
When I start fighting with people when I'm drunk.
Yep.
He leaves.
Well, you don't fight with people.
No, but you
debate with them.
Yes.
Because you also like to push people's buttons.
Yes.
Yes.
And he leaves immediately.
Yeah.
He has no tolerance for it.
Yeah.
And he was watching this and he's like, it just feels like I'm sober listening to people fight and I can't leave.
Yep.
And I'm choosing to watch this. I'm like, yeah, I understand that you don't like this. I love it. Camille, tell me, why do you say one thing to me and not to the next person?
Go back and watch season one and two at least, because in season two, you get to see the origin of the cat meme.
Okay, yeah.
You know, with the woman pointing? Yeah. Okay. That's in season two. Ooh. And that's the woman whose husband was beating her. Yeah, Taylor Armstrong. I know all the relationships and stuff, and sometimes I watch it now. You know how sometimes they bring their friend to an event?
Yeah.
I go like, who's that person? Yeah. Where have I seen them?
I do that a lot also. But Camille also, when she was like the judge that told about the rape. Or
the Kavanaugh.
Yes. And she was like, well, I don't believe her.
Yeah.
She shouldn't be talking about this. And all of them were like, what do you mean?
Yeah.
She's like, I have been lied upon, blah, blah, blah. And like, this is completely different.
Camille's great at making things about herself.
Yeah. Like, your husband was a dick and told the press that you did something. It's not the same as saying, like, he raped me. Yeah.
It's not.
What?
But it is a great show and you should watch it.
It is.
But I got a listicle.
Ooh.
I got a list for you today. So I'll try and move my screen so you can't see it.
Okay.
Because I was just looking at stuff.
At stuff.
On the interwebs earlier today, and I discovered a little fact. And the little fact is that the last time every human being was on Earth was in November in the year 2000.
Wait, what?
The last time every human being
was on the Earth. I get it now.
Because since then, there's always been at least one person in space.
Yes.
So then I started thinking, we love going
to the year 3000.
We love going through our lists.
Yes.
And I was like, let's find a list of things about space.
Okay.
So, I thought I would share a list with you about space.
All right.
I mean, because I found this on I found that out on another list. One other thing I will point out from that same list, that apparently when you dream, one part of your brain is making up the story, the other part is experiencing it and is still surprised.
Oh, it's like horses. Like horses.
They put half their brain. And birds, when they do long flights, they just, you know, the migratory birds.
Yeah.
They basically just shut half their brain off so that they can keep flying.
So weird.
And then they wake up and, okay, so this is called 28 Scary Facts About Space.
Okay.
That will make you glad you're safely planted on planet Earth.
Well, we have a lot of stuff on planet
Earth. I know. Space doesn't look that bad right now.
No.
So the first one, after a month, chunks of your feet start falling off. So basically, because it's so dry.
In space?
In space. If you're an astronaut in space.
Yes.
Because it's so dry, the skin on like your heels and stuff starts getting really dry, and then it starts to flake, and the skin will just fall off and just start like floating around.
Are you sure you have never been to space?
My feet are getting better. And then apparently different calluses, so you know like when you get hard skin, different calluses form on top of your feet because you keep having to use them to grip onto stuff. So you keep having to hook them under things. So that wasn't really that scary.
No. that happens.
We have no idea what is outside the visible universe, but it's pulling chunks of galaxies away. Yeah. So I can explain this. We don't know what lies beyond what we can see of the universe, so we just assume that the rest of it is filled with the same stuff. But in a study a few years ago, scientists found that a group of galaxy clusters were moving at an incredible speed towards a small patch of sky. And the only explanation is that there's something out there beyond what we can see that's pulling them away.
Yeah. I don't think that's scary.
Okay, all right.
I think it's more scary that there's black holes.
This is like a BuzzFeed, and the list then says, "We're just getting started. More nightmares to come."
Oh.
The night sky will eventually be completely black. It probably won't happen for a few billion years. Aww. Yeah, this isn't that scary, is it? But because every star we see in the sky, some of them don't even exist anymore. It's just taken that long for the light to reach us.
Yeah, but there's also new stars becoming.
Yes, but according to Scientific American, the quickening expansion will eventually pull galaxies apart faster than light, causing them to drop out of view. So eventually, we won't be able to see any galaxies because they'll be so far away. Hmm. That's just depressing. Meteors can strike Earth wherever and whenever without any warning whatsoever.
Yeah.
And in 2003, do you remember this?
When?
In Russia?
Yeah, it happens. Like, there's always every other year or something.
In Russia.
No, there's like news. Oh, there's a meteor coming to Earth. But then they just burn up.
Well, in 2013, I remember this because I've seen videos of it online. It's crazy. Like security online. Footage of like a someone like in a shop, and then suddenly the windows just explode.
Oh, it's crazy.
In 2013, 400 people were injured after a meteorite exploded in the mountains over Russia. So it was,
yeah.
As it was burning up, it just blew up, and then it. People in shops and stuff, and car alarms went off, and people were like thrown to their.
Did you think a meteor was mediocre?
A mediocre.
A mediocre meteor was coming.
But yeah, they could fall at any moment, rain down on Earth, and cause massive destruction, and we might not know it until it's too late. So I think the point there is that we always think NASA or whatever space agency is looking the sky, but it's. It's impossible to spot every single one.
Yeah, but also, like, if something's going to come, what is it called?
Meteor.
Meteor.
Meteor. A meteor.
If it would come now and kill the whole, everyone in Iceland, everyone in Europe.
Yeah.
Like, is someone going to be like, oh, it's coming. Hide.
Oh, so you think if they did find it out, they wouldn't tell us?
No, I mean, it doesn't matter.
If they tell us, well, I think I'd like to know if this is my last day on Earth.
Or the last second.
But if you're saying that they know it's coming, it's not like they just went, oh, look. If you're saying the government knows it's coming, is that what you're saying? That they probably wouldn't bother to tell us?
No, I'm just saying, like, why would they? Like, do we want them to tell us?
I would want to know. Mm-hmm. I know by saying that it would cause every idiot on the face of the continent of Europe. If you're like, a comet is going to wipe out Europe and it's happening in the next 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way you're going to get out of Europe in the next 3 hours unless you're on the outskirts.
Yeah.
Like where we are in Iceland, there's nothing we could do.
We could go to Garðaskóli.
Like you could just try and survive. But
yeah, I mean,
you would do what you can. You get to safety and hope for the best.
Yeah.
But I know that most people would be like, well, I'm going to loot. I like my neighbor's car. I'm going to take it now.
Yeah.
And if I were the neighbor, I'd be like, yeah, just sure, have it. I'm going to safety. But
yeah, you do you, boo.
But I know it would be like the purge out there. Yeah. I get that.
Yeah.
But I think I would want to know.
Yeah. Like have the chance to at least try to get to a bunker or something.
Yeah. Yeah. I know there's an abandoned car park near the film school.
I would not go to a car park.
Because of the concrete?
Yeah, it's probably not. I mean, there, like Garðaskóli, the school in Garðabær, was built as a, like, if the weather gets extreme or something, then you can go there.
So it's like a bunker?
Basically.
Okay, I thought all schools were supposed to be built that way.
Maybe they are, I just know it.
Maybe they only do that in the Beverly Hills of Iceland, because they're like, we need to protect the rich children.
Yes.
They're going to restart our population afterwards. We have to protect the wealthy.
But only the ones that are 14 or older. Because the other ones are in different school.
Here's one I didn't know off the list. A solar superstorm almost changed all life forever as we know it. And do you know what year this was?
1952.
Now have a guess.
2001.
Have a guess if it almost caused an apocalypse.
When the dinosaurs were here. I don't know.
2012.
Oh.
Because remember the Mayan calendar stopped it. Yep. In July of 2012, the Earth narrowly missed a brush with an extreme solar storm, the most powerful that we've seen in more than 150 years.
Yeah.
2 years later... A person at the University of Colorado said, if it had hit, we would still be picking up the pieces today. Yeah. So in 2012, if it had hit us, we would still be trying to repair Earth or our society in 2020. Solar storms are a threat to all forms of high technology. It begins with an explosion, then X-rays, and then extreme UV radiation. So they would have reached Earth at light speed. It would have caused radio blackouts and GPS navigation errors. So like planes would have fallen out of the sky, or computers would stop working. The whole banking system would have collapsed in the entire world. There would be no satellites. So the satellites would have been blasted with energy. So we wouldn't be able to communicate between countries, let alone each other. And the whole world would have been without power. The whole world. And apparently it narrowly missed us.
I always feel like when I hear this and people are like, almost, like, it almost happened. I'm like, but it didn't.
But it didn't. Get over it.
I'm like, it didn't. If it would have, we would not be here talking about it. And... we would be somewhere talking about it, but not, we would be like dying.
In a bunker at Karlskole.
Yes. Yeah. But I'm like, oh, this is so like, this is at the same time, so unlikely as it is, it could happen any minute.
I do think, because I was thinking about this after I read this.
So I'm like, what can we do? Nothing.
I do think that Iceland would be not a terrible country to be in that situation. Because...
we're not that far from being no power.
Yeah. I mean, technically, all you need is fire and heat.
Yeah.
And even though there are electrical components, you could still somehow harness... the geothermal water here to heat houses.
It's really easy.
Like people would just deal with things.
Yeah.
I guess we could try to get fish.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then again, I think about it and think how a lot of Icelanders are super take care of yourself first. So I could just imagine some guy named like Garðar. And just, you know, hoarding all the sheep up in the countryside going, these are for me.
No, I think it would be start really soon to be, I mean.
You think it would be like more community spirited?
Yes. And I mean, if you have gas, then you have a lot of power.
As in like for a car?
Yeah, or a boat or.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I read another list the other day about things that are inaccurate in like apocalyptic things. Mm. Gas will only work like if it's just sitting for like 3 years.
Yeah.
So in those apocalypse movies where they go into a gas station that looks like it's been abandoned for 20 years and they just pump gas.
Yeah.
That gas wouldn't work.
No.
So you've only got 3 years of that power.
Yeah. Yeah, but then you have 3 years to figure out, okay, we have all this running water.
Yeah, okay.
And we know running water can give us power.
Yeah. Yeah, true.
I mean, you don't use any electricity. You make electricity.
And this is one of those countries where for a large part of the year, you don't, if you need to keep things cold, you can just put them outside.
Yeah. I think it would be much easier than we think.
Yeah, I think Iceland would be. A lot of other countries would not. Australia, I would not want to live in that country without power.
No.
No, God, no.
But, yeah, and I mean, a lot of... Yeah. I mean, how is power created with other...
Energy.
Energy.
Yeah.
So how can
it's you... It's just the harnessing of energy.
Yes.
Yeah.
And windmills, water...
It doesn't mean nuclear power would stop.
No.
No. Okay, the universe could just explode.
Yeah.
But I mean, here's the thing.
Again, I'm like, this is...
This is normal, but they say in a few billion years. So we're not going to be around for this. No. But so it's basically the opposite of the Big Bang. And they refer to it as the Big Rip. And while it's just a theory, it's a plausible one. And basically, it says that in a few billion years, a mysterious force permeating space-time might be strong enough to blow everything apart, shred rocks, animals, and molecules, and finally even atoms in a last seemingly mad instant of cosmic self-abnegation.
Yeah. Do you know what I think would be, like, scary?
What?
If gravity would stop working.
Because then we would just float up into space.
No, you would rip apart.
Why?
Because gravity also holds all the... water, like
in your body,
yeah, and like in the buildings and everything would just poof.
I never thought of that.
That's what I think is scary.
Oh,
or not scary. I'm just like, that's a fact that I'm like, oh, yeah, oh, well,
gravity's pretty good,
yeah.
I like gravity.
Yeah.
Quite like having it. I mean, we'd all like to be able to fly, but it's nice to just be able to walk.
Yes.
And stand and lie down. Because also astronauts, when they sleep in space, they're in a sleeping bag.
Yeah.
And they have to strap their head to a pillow.
Yeah.
So that they can actually rest their neck.
Yeah.
And there's armholes in the sleeping bag, and then you put them back in, and sometimes astronauts have said you wake up with one arm just floating in front of your face. And you're like, whose is that? Oh, it's mine. Like,
yeah. And I mean, when they land on Earth, they can't walk.
No, because they haven't used their muscles.
Yeah.
Yeah. The next one, it's not scary, but space smells really bad.
I've heard this.
Yeah. Apparently, astronauts... But
have you been to Hveragerði?
Well, astronauts have described space as smelling like seared steak, hot metal, welding sparks.
Yeah.
It carries a distinct odor of ozone and an acrid smell. So that's like Hveragerði. And sulfurous.
Hveragerði.
So space smells like Iceland. But there's a company, a research company, that recently they had to recreate the smell of space based on what astronauts have told them for an exhibition at NASA.
Yeah.
So that they could go, what does space smell like? And it's been made into a fragrance.
Ooh.
So, and it's called Eau de Space. So you can smell like space. I don't think I would like that.
No.
Did you know that galaxies eat each other?
No.
No?
Or like they just collapse into each other?
Yeah, they gobble each other up and become a bigger galaxy.
Yeah.
That one's not scary. Your arms float in front of your face while you sleep. Yes, we've obviously just learned that one.
Such a Debbie Downer with this list. I'm like, well...
There is a giant black hole shooting through space at 3 million miles per hour.
That's what I think is scary.
That's terrifying. Apparently, this black hole is about 2 billion light years away for now.
And also, what does black hole, like, something goes in and just...
No one knows.
Never comes out.
Matthew McConaughey comes out.
Yeah.
And then he goes into the library place and then tells his daughter how to create gravity in space. That's what I took away from Interstellar.
I've never seen it.
I've seen that movie so many times, and it doesn't make sense to me. I've even watched videos to try and explain it. It just, it doesn't get through.
But you're also not very smart.
Oh, thanks. The next one is a component of a theory that I am quite fond of, that I think I've told you about before, but it's something I didn't know that was part of this theory. And it is about aliens. So have I told you about the Fermi paradox?
I don't know.
So it's the Fermi paradox is a theory that it's basically a name given to all the theories about why we haven't made contact with intelligent life.
Yes, and because it's not at the same time as we.
Yeah, well, the main part of the Fermi paradox is that either they're not advanced enough or we're not advanced enough. Yes.
We will never be at the same level. Period. Yes, we talked about it after Prometheus.
Yeah, so we'll never be at the same period in time. There's another element to the Fermi paradox that I didn't know until I read this, which is that another theory on the Fermi paradox is that there are intelligent life forms out there who could communicate with us, but they choose not to because there's so something... Stupid. No, because they're afraid to communicate with us in case, because they know that there's something out there and they don't want to be seen. So it's basically, that other intelligent life forms haven't bothered to visit us.
Because they know about something that we don't.
Yeah, and they don't want to be found by this big bad thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanos.
Thanos. But yeah, it's basically that they don't want to be they don't want to bring attention to themselves because there's something big and bad that they're hiding from.
Yeah.
And here we are just blasting out into the universe.
If something bad would come to Earth and be like, "I own you now," I would probably be like, "Take me and kill me."
You wouldn't want to be...
Like, do I want to live in a bunker for the rest of my life?
Oh, so you would rather just go out and go, "I'm done," than hide forever?
Yeah. But I don't know. But then the life will becomes pretty.
But there have been people in different... Like, you look at, obviously, so many terrible colonization stories.
Yeah,
there were still people who were the natives to that wherever they went, who kind of ran away.
Yeah,
and still were able to keep living. Sure, it wasn't amazing for them, but wouldn't you rather try and keep humanity alive?
I don't know.
I love that you took the microphone closer to your mouth. Just to say, I don't know. One last one on this list. I didn't know this one. Every year, the moon gets 4 centimeters further away from Earth.
Huh.
Yeah. It might not seem like a big deal, but it could have devastating effects on the in the future. Eventually,
on the ocean.
Yeah, eventually, if it gets far enough away, it will slow the Earth's rotation so that one single day will take longer than a month.
Whoa.
Can you imagine how bad January would be? Remember January this year?
But do you think if that would happen, I think we would still use our, how we count the days.
And just, it would be like it being an Iceland. The sunlight would just take longer.
Yeah.
Yeah, so morning, I guess we'd be more used to it.
I mean, how is it in Australia? Is it just dark at 6 every day and then it light at 6 every day? That's how it is in Ecuador.
That's because it's on the equator.
Uh-huh. I think that's amazing.
It's usually dark by, like, we don't really get the days don't really get, like, they get shorter in winter, but it's like night in winter in Brisbane, where I'm from.
Yeah.
Would be like 6:30, it's dark.
Okay.
And in summer, it would be like 7, it's dark. It's only really half an hour difference.
Yeah, so you don't really notice it.
No, you don't notice it as much. I mean, you do kind of like, because it's, the sun's a little lower when you're going home from school at like 3.
Yeah.
But Yeah, it's not like here where the sun is fucking shining until 2 a.m.
Yeah, love it.
But then when you go south in Australia to like Melbourne, which is quite far down the bottom, I remember when I first moved there, it was summer, and the sun was out till like 9 o'clock at night, and I had never seen that before.
Yeah,
that blew my mind.
Yeah,
I was like, oh my god, it's 8:30 and the sun is setting.
Yeah.
And that was a big deal for me. Because
how was it then when you came here?
Weird.
In August, and then
it was August.
Just dark. Bye, sun.
And actually the summer wasn't that great that year, 2015. It rained a lot.
Oh, it was a terrible summer. Yeah.
It was such a shitty summer. A lot of storms.
Yeah.
And then it kind of I came August 14th, so it was sort of like the end of summer.
Yeah.
And then it just went straight into winter, but it didn't snow until late that year. Mm-hmm. So it was just this wet autumn coldness but I remember the sunlight was a bit weird. But for me, it was exciting.
Yeah.
I've never had an issue just sleeping. I could sleep with the curtains open.
Me too. I love it. I would do it.
Natan can't. I keep trying to convince him to just wear an eye mask but he's like, oh no, I don't want it to, you know, leave marks on my face and it's bad for you. I don't want my skin to get all sweaty. But then you look at him when he goes to bed and he just puts his elbow over his eyes to just block, even though we've got the blinds down and just the tiny little bit of light in the room, he can't handle it. There was one other thing I thought was fascinating that I'd never thought about. If time travel was possible, you would need both a time and a space machine to survive the trip. Otherwise, if you travel back in time, the planet would be at a different point in its rotation around the sun and our solar system. And it's quite possible that you would travel back in time and end up in an empty part of space.
Ooh, that's scary.
Because you wouldn't come back to this. It couldn't, if it was just a time machine.
Yeah.
And you go, I'm going to go back to 1973. I'm going to arrive in this space in 1973 where I'm sitting right now.
Yeah.
The Earth might not have been here then.
Yeah. Oh, that's scary.
Yeah.
I want to try a time and space machine.
I would love to find out where would I be if I like went back and I was in this direct spot on the day I was born. Would I be in another country? Would I be in the middle of the ocean, or would I be in just empty space?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's crazy.
What other weird thoughts have you ever had that have like kept you up at night like that?
I don't know.
We can finish our list with these because I've got one.
But what I was going to say about the time travel, if time travel would be a thing, and just like...
Go on. I think I like this going. Yeah.
It would just be a thing. And how long do you think it would take for the society of Earth to decide, okay, so you can't time travel.
Yeah, but here are the rules.
But you can't go back and kill Hitler.
Yeah.
Because then you are not born. Then you create chaos in the time you're actually from. Because then there's a lot of leaders that haven't maybe been born or don't exist. Like, how long do you think the period needs?
How long would it take?
Yes.
For people to go, we need to follow rules.
Yes. And everyone will just follow them. Because I would think the first time people would go and be like, I'm going to kill Hitler. I'm going to save this one, blah, 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 blah.
And then you have people going, I'm going to go back to last week and get the numbers.
Yes.
Win the lottery.
Yes. Yeah. And then you have like X amount of time where people are actually fixing what other people did. They would be like, okay, so he went and killed Hitler, so everything is fucked up here, so I need to go back to this time where he goes and tell him to do it and then go with him and fix that he doesn't kill Hitler.
Yeah, I
would probably the more take you, a few years.
The more you say this, the more I think I would be the old baby boomer going, we shouldn't allow it. I don't understand time travel, but I don't think we should have it.
Yeah. And then I think, like, with lottery, somehow they would figure out how the numbers are not going to be the same. Like, you can't go back and see, oh, these are the numbers, then go.
Or maybe a result of it means that we, because lotteries aren't, like, if the lottery system can be cheated, maybe there's no lotteries anymore.
Yeah.
And maybe that wealth just then becomes distributed throughout the world and we have a universal income.
No, because the money that comes from lotteries is not so... It's money that basically doesn't exist, right?
It does exist. It depends on what country you're in. Because... I mean,
is someone just paying monthly for, people that buy lottery tickets?
Yeah, okay.
But if lottery doesn't exist, then the money doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
So it wouldn't become money that can be given to everyone.
I just think if it came...
Step on that idea.
I just think when it comes to time travel, we can't be trusted.
No.
I think we're not evolved enough and we're just... Even the most smartest, kindest, well-thought-out people in the world... would probably still struggle to not do things for their own personal gain.
Yes.
So I think, there you go. I've solved it. We can't have time travel.
But if we would, how long do you think it would take society?
I think it would take hundreds of years.
Yeah, I think so too.
I think it would take a really long time and we would gloriously fuck everything up.
Yes.
Our past, our present, our future.
Yeah. And I think it would need to be like a lot of years because let's say the first time traveler goes back and kills Hitler. So a time traveler from year 2000 goes back to 1930 and kills Hitler.
Then the Holocaust doesn't happen.
Yes.
So then we don't learn from it.
We don't learn from it.
Mm.
And a lot of people that are existing don't exist. And a lot of people that died...
Didn't.
So everything is fucked up the year 2000. Then, because this is just starting, so a lot of stuff like this happens, then we maybe we go to 2050, where they're trying to clean up all the mess, and then we have people going to 2000 to clean up the people that went to 1930s,
You know how I think this would end?
Everyone will die.
Or the final thing that happens is somebody from the year 3020 goes back to the person who discovers time travel and just kills them.
Yeah.
And then in doing so, undoes everything from that moment forward. And that's how the credits roll in the movie. They sacrifice themselves and the whole society is like... This is fucked up.
Yeah.
You have to go make this right again.
Yeah.
I would watch that movie.
Yeah, me too. I've been reading the same book for like 3 years now.
Yeah.
And it's about a man that when he dies, he just is born again at the same time, at the same year.
Oh, he lives his same life.
Yes.
And does he remember?
Yes. So he like... After he becomes six, he starts to remember everything. And he, when he was a small
child. So he knows everything that's going to happen to him.
Yes, but he can change it also.
Okay.
And he did change it a few times and, just wiped out the mankind.
Oh.
And, all of this stuff. And then it's always... Then the story has people in different age So it's only specific people that do this, not everyone. And then he is in like this society with other people that can't, like, that do this.
Mm.
Some are younger, some are older. So the time always spans through much larger time than just your life.
Mm, okay.
And if you do something wrong, they sometimes had to go and kill that person. So they wouldn't just ruin society.
Okay.
And ruin, like, and then they had all of this, like, so this is your, basically a buddy system.
Mm.
So you were always given a lot of money. So it was like rich people that gave the person that was younger than them a lot of money, and then it transferred through all of this time. And this was in their society, basically, that this life is weird and like it's terrible to have to live the same life again and again, but at least you're financially stable.
Okay.
It's really interesting.
What's the name of the book?
15 First Life of Harry something.
Huh. And you've been reading it for 3 years.
Yes.
But you never finished it.
No.
Because it sounds kind of heavy.
It is, and it's in English, and it's like pretty difficult. Like,
yeah, okay.
Hard English. Yeah, I don't know. I need to finish it.
You need to get someone from Storytel to do it in Icelandic on an audiobook for you.
Yeah. It's not that I don't understand it. It's just that...
No, I get it, because when things are like that, you just you read a chapter,
yeah,
and then you need a break from it because the language is just, there's so much to take in.
Yes.
And then you feel like you're in a lecture sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I get it. But that was what an interesting chat today. We started with the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
I went into time travel.
Time travel in space.
Yeah, man.
But
yeah, buddy.
You're going to go sell your car.
I am.
So I guess until next time.
Bye. This was not in front of my salad.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to be somebody. I'm somebody. Are you somebody? Not everybody can be somebody. Well, I'm somebody and you are nobody. You're just a Reykjavik salad. I'm from Reykjavik, Iceland, the best country in the world, and I'm a hrókakikkur.